because I believe this is an important doctrine to know for everyone. And I've got to hit it real quick, but that's why I switched back and forth. All right. Genesis chapter number 6 tonight. Father, once again, we thank you for your word, your teaching. God, I pray that, Lord, I would be a great preacher, not in the eyes of man, but Lord, that I would be able to influence these children in the right way, help them to learn and grow. God, as the Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip, how can I accept man? Some man guide me, Lord. I pray that you would help me, Lord, to guide these children, Lord, not to indoctrinate them, but guide them in the Word of God, Lord. That's what our responsibility is as preachers. And as it said there in Romans chapter number 10, God, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they be sent, Lord, except you send them? And so I pray, Lord, help me, God, to do your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So Genesis chapter number 6, we're in introduced to a couple new things here once again. Genesis chapter number 6, verse 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. And so we see here it's talking about man. This is important because in verse 2 is where the false doctrine comes in. And again, it's not a matter of going to keep you out of heaven if you don't believe the way I believe. It's not a matter of, I don't even like saying that, you know, that, bless God. It's not a matter of, if you don't line up with me, you're a heretic. I understand where people get this wrong, but it is an important thing because if you don't learn it correctly, don't understand the Bible correctly and rightly divide the word, it will cause contradictions in the Bible. And so it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth that daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God. So who's he talking about? He's talking about from verse 1. The men, the sons of God, those are godly men, saw the daughters of men. So these are lost girls, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And so there's another problem. Again, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son, in the days of the Son of Man. When Jesus is fixing to come back in the rapture, and even if in the second coming, because between the rapture and the second coming is only 7 years. That sounds like a lot to us. Excuse me, Bree said 18. Let's do Bree. Bree's 18. 7 years, she would be. That's not her problem. Oh my goodness. 25. She would be 25. That sounds like a lot to you, don't it? To be 25 right now, what, that would be crazy. But in God's time, 7 years is not that long. And so it's important for us because Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also be when the Son of Man comes. What were they doing? They were marrying and giving in marriage. And it says here, they took them wives of all which they chose. So what? Most likely they were doing what? They were going to get lost girls. Thank you, plural. So they were probably marrying multiple wives is probably what one of the sin is. We see in our day and time, it's not as bad in our country because in our country, what do? When we're fed up with a wife? We leave her. We divorce her. In America, it's made so simple. But what do they do in other countries? They marry multiple wives. You're not going to take care of me. He'll just throw her to the side. She can't do anything because what? In other countries, women don't have rights. So he'll just throw her to the side. You're not going to do what I want. I'll go marry another woman. And in other countries, it's not uncommon in some of these countries. Men have gone into some of these heathen countries and found men married to sometimes 20-some women. There was a story of a missionary, and I don't remember what country it was. A man went into a village I want to say it was in Southeast Asia, but I could be wrong. It may have been South America. A man went in and this man got saved. But the problem was, he got truth of the, they said the man really was repentant. And they went to the missionary and said, I don't know, what do I do? The man was married to 20-some different women. Well, what do you do when you deal with that issue? You can't divorce because the Bible forbids it. So how do you guide somebody in that? Well, I mean, to me, that's a very hard issue. You know, we in America don't, you know, we think, well, just divorce them all. But, you know, according to the Bible, we believe that the Bible doesn't believe in divorce. So what do you do? Well, number one, you realize, okay, is there any of them that you're really not married to, you just really didn't perform a ceremony with, you really did not, you're just really having an affair? If any of that, then that needs to be cleaned up. Then, if there's any, you know, left and you're still, you know, then you're stuck in that situation. I believe that you're stuck in that situation. I don't know, personally, I don't know what I would do. You know, I haven't necessarily doubt, but I have thought about that when I heard that story of that missionary. How would you direct somebody? The Bible tells us, let every woman what? Have her own husband, and every man have his own wife. The Bible plainly does, these people that think the Bible teaches polygamy, the Bible does not. The Bible plainly teaches that let every woman have her own husband, and every husband have his own wife. One, singular. The Bible did not teach polygamy. And we've talked about this. But here, that's what they're doing. They took them wives of all which they chose. And I can understand, you know, if I was a lost man living in a heathen country, you know, especially if you're in a place of power, look at Solomon. Solomon had how many? 700 wives and 300 concubines, right? I think it's 1,000. I think it was 1,000 or a little over 1,000 total women.
No, you're probably thinking of David. He had less than Solomon.
But either way, he married most of those as what? As ceremonial wives. He married her for what purpose?
Land
or peace or money. That was the purpose then. And God had warned them not to do it. And again, this is where, you know, a lot of people like to blame the women. What's the woman's fault? Because the Bible tells us that what happened with Solomon? All of them wives pulled him away, his heart away from God. But God had already warned, I don't blame the women, but I blame Solomon. Why? Because God had warned Solomon, the kings, what? They were not to do what? Multiply to themselves wives. That was one thing God told them when they were kings, do not multiply to yourself wives, because it's going to do exactly what happened. Because Solomon wasn't marrying Hebrew women. I'm sure he had, some of those were Hebrew wives. But again, we just said, most of the women were probably heathen nations. And what did they do? They drew his heart away from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And so there, and they took them wives. And here's God said, verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit. Now, this is important right here. It's a lowercase s, but sometimes in the Old Testament, what we would refer to as the Holy Spirit is sometimes in the Old Testament done with a lowercase s. Not in the New Testament, there's that distinction between the Holy Spirit, but in the Old Testament, there's not really that. But here, I believe this is more talking about the Holy Spirit. So it may be, Owen, Natalie, that before the flood, they had something similar to what we had, because here he says, the Lord said, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. We know that for the most part in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God did what? With man. When the Holy Spirit did what with man in the Old Testament? It rested upon man, remember? Y'all are killing me tonight, y'all. The Holy Spirit. Why could the Holy Spirit reside in them? Because Jesus had died, the blood had not been applied. And so David even said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. So it could be that before the flood, before things had gotten really, really bad, that though the Holy Spirit did not live in them yet because Jesus had not died, it may be that the Spirit of God stayed more with them. Because remember, Samson, was the Spirit of God with Samson all the time? No. What would happen? The Spirit would what? Come upon him at different times. Samson didn't have the Spirit all the time. The Spirit would come upon him when he needed him the most. And so it may be what the Bible's saying here in verse 3, that it may be that before the flood, those men, the Holy Spirit did not necessarily live inside of them because the blood had not been applied. But it may be that the Spirit of God, he said, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. So it may be that the Spirit stayed with them more in the Old Testament before the flood. By the way, did anybody bring their paper? I meant to forget now. I was going to look and see how many years this is. This is about 2,000 years, I think. Does it tell you? Yeah.
Does it tell Brie from? I expect you to do that. Sure.
So the year that Noah was born would have been about the year 1056. Counting from 0 to 1056, not like we would do it in BC, 4,000. So it's 4,000. So minus 1,000, so it'd be 3,000. So yeah, somewhere around 3,000 years since creation, begin of creation. So the year 3,000, sorry. So it's been just over 1,000 years from when Noah was born to when Adam was created. So that's something good to look at. If you don't have a copy, I need to make more copies. But anyway, so there may have been a little bit different there. We don't know. And this is where one of the things I was always taught growing up, and this is one thing that a lot of people have changed. Y'all may think, well, you know, nothing's changed, but this is something that's changed in my lifetime, the teaching here in verse 3. And the Lord said, my Spirit shall not strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. This is something that's changed. Most people have changed in my lifetime, the teaching. Most, when I was young, taught that 120 years meant what? No, see, that's something that most did not teach because it's not been, but in the last 30 to 40 years, that the time frame has finally come together where they realize most people taught that meant that God was shortening the life to 120 years. And when I was young, that's the way I was taught, that he was saying that my Spirit shall always strive with man, but that his days shall be 120 years, that God was, that's God set the time for a man to live 120 years. The problem with that teaching was, after the flood, they did what? They lived for a long time. They lived over 120 years. So either it's a contradiction of the Bible, or it's what Allie said. This 120 years, so most people now believe what this is 120 years before the flood, God comes to Noah and tells Noah to start building the ark. And so that's what most people believe now, that 120 years is. God says he looked down, saw that the man was wicked, man was doing wrong. Now in Noah, God saw that man was doing wrong and says, that's it. In 120 years, I am cutting off through the flood man from the earth. Yeah, remember, Abraham didn't have a kid till he was what? 99 years old, 100 years old. He lived to be 175, I think it was. 170-some years. Jacob lived to even way after the flood. Jacob lived. Now after the flood, what begins to happen? Their lives are shortened. And most people believe that that's because of sin. The more that sin gets in the world, the more what? That life gets shortened. most people do not even live. What's the average lifespan of America? 79 years old. 76 years old. What'd you say?
I said 74.
I think in America it's 70. It's late 70s. You go over to Japan, their lifespan is into, that's what they're having a problem with. Their society is aging, and even though they are not a Christian nation, the nation is not filled with sin. They still have very clean, respectful people, even though they're not a Christian nation. They don't practice sin like we. And people in Japan, it's not uncommon for people to live to be 118, 117 years old in Japan and places like that. Now, there's some that live old here. In Kansas, we've got some that have lived to right at 100. But the lifespan of America is down, is less than 80 years. That's why I tell y'all, man, I love y'all. But me and Mama most likely are halfway through our lives. When you look at it that way, Charlie Kirk was 31 years old when he got killed. I'm 43. If I live to be 80, I have less than 40 years left of life. If I made it 80. With all kids, I'll be lucky to make it 60. Especially that one. He's the death of me. That's why God didn't give him boys. You know, it was going to be so much. But that's okay. You know what? At least I know my heritage will live on. Did you have a question? Did you have a question? Or was your stress?
I'm pretty sure
Japanese people,
their like religion is like
Buddhist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
they're
like you respect animals and you like insects to live their lives.
Yes. Is Christianity supposed to respect animals?
No. We have dominion over them.
We have dominion over them, but is there a verse? Oh, there is.
There's actually
Bible in Japanese, or
no, it's like
just the Japanese culture. Something.
Japanese culture, like what their religion is.
There is a verse in the book of Proverbs. Anybody can bring that to me Tuesday?
I could ask the grandma if I could borrow it and share with you. Okay.
Just be careful. There's a verse in the book of Proverbs about being respectful to animals. Anybody? The first one that can bring that to me, I'll give them a dollar.
Today or Tuesday?
By Tuesday. So, that, no, I don't want you doing it right now. No, anybody that does it during the church, you are disqualified. All right. The Bible says we're to be, I believe if you're going to kill something, if you're going deer hunting, then you should eat it. Or make sure it gets to somebody. These people that do things for sport, I am not for that. I am 100% for respecting animals. I'm not killing a cat because it's a cat. There are people out here that do that. I think that is very wrong. I don't like mice in my house. I wouldn't kill a mouse if it wasn't in my house. But if it's in my house, it's got to go. Okay. Yes. Cats in other cultures are highly regarded in some cultures. I don't know about Japanese. I know in Egyptian culture they were.
I know China. They're really respectful.
They're real what? Oh, yeah. That's why you go there. They do regard him. All right. So that's what that. This right here now, verse 4, says there were giants in the earth in those days after that. So this is where that doctrine, I'm going to hit on it just a second so that you know. So basically there are people that teach, and we're going to deal with it next Sunday because I want everybody, hopefully everybody will be back next Sunday. There are people that teach that angels, the fallen angels right here, had children with women. And this is probably where a lot of that Hercules and false teaching of half God, half man comes in. The problem with that is two things. And again, y'all, next week when we deal with it, y'all will just have to just say, all right, I already knew this, or relearn. There's two major things that I can think of as why this doctrine is false and why I cannot go on with it, okay? Number one, in the book of Genesis, God established what? What law did God establish in Genesis?
They have to bring forth
after their own kind. After their own kind. You cannot breed a cat. Listen, do you think that a cat and a walrus can bring forth a... How about a bird and a snake? Why? Because God established that things can only bring forth after their kind. So in order for angels, and some people teach this, and again, I'm going to deal with it next week. In order for this to be angels, that means they have to violate that law that God established that things can only bring forth after their kind. So that's the number one. That's number one. If that was possible. Number two, who did Christ die for? He died for our sins. He died for humans. All those after the, as we read this morning, the similitude of Adam. If angels, men angels, if that's what you want to call them, had children with these women, they're not human. They don't have an earthly father. Jesus died for the human race, those are our sins after the similitude of Adam. If they did not have an earthly father, like these people teach, which I think is religion, like I said, I'm like, where are you? Then these people would have been, pardon my French, I know I don't like saying it, but it's a biblical word at this point, they'd have been damned from the start. There would be no hope for those people if what these people teach is true. There would be no hope for them. Because Jesus died for man, not half man, half angel. And so I think it's ridiculous to teach such a doctrine. And again, we'll deal with it next week. But that's the doctrine. And again, it's not going to send you to hell if you believe that. You're free to believe that. But like I said, my two things is two of them that I know of, and I'm sure if I thought about it more, but those are the two major things. God said in Genesis chapter 1 that things bring forth after their kind. There's not a person in this room right now, even my children, understand that you can't breed a cat with a walrus. You can't breed a bird with a snake. There is no way, bless you, that you're going to breed angels with man. Not to mention Jesus also goes and tells us that angels do not marry. So in order to do that, you're going to not only violate those, but then number three, you're going to violate the very words of Jesus Christ. And therefore, again, I cannot go along with that. Verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men and bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. This is where they get that, giants. By the way, I looked this up in the Strong's directly from the Hebrew. We use the word giant. The definition of this from the Strong's for this word means a fella that is a bully or a tyrant. It has nothing to do with their size. The mighty means a warrior, a tyrant, or a champion. In that spot right there. Has nothing to do with their size. Has nothing to do with that. Listen, there's a teaching, and I've come across videos on this. Because there are giants. And that's where people are like, well, what about Goliath? Okay? Goliath was a man. But y'all realize, right now, I'm not a little guy. Y'all understand that, right? I'm not a little man. Do you understand if Shaquille O'Neal stood beside me right now, what he would be to me and I would be to him? He is 7'2", 300 and something pounds. By the way, he's not the tallest man in the world. I would love to meet him. I really would. If I could meet anybody, even though I don't believe the man's saved, I believe for a lost man, the man truly has a heart for people and to help people. I don't believe the man saved. But he is humongous. I would look like a tiny man in his sight. Have y'all ever seen videos? I look great on when he holds this water bottle in his hand, you know those little tiny miniature sodas that moms would buy? How they would look in my hand? That's how that water bottle will look in his hand. When he holds a water bottle in his hand, one of these water bottles, his whole hand covers this hole. And he's like this, trying to take the cap off because he's so big. Y'all look up a video. We'll look up a video afterwards. He's huge. He is a giant. How do you get giants?
Good genes.
Thank you. All it takes is to have. Right now, if Shaquille O'Neal, now you're not going to find a woman that's 7 foot. I don't know what the world's tallest woman right now is. But if Shaquille O'Neal, who is 7 foot, met a woman that's 6'5", because there are some women that are 6'5", and they had children, do you know what they would produce? They would produce very tall children. Yes.
It's like my mom, she's not like short at all. She's just like in the middle. My dad is kind of short. So, but I'm only tall because my mom's grandpa is like.
His jeans.
Super tall. And now I'm super tall. I'm like taller than my mom. Like, I'm like the same size of. They're not like the same height as my mom. Not like exact, but like I'm like right.
Owen is going to be, Lord willing, nothing happens, we are going to adopt Owen. And we love Owen, and Owen's going to be a library. Guess what Owen is not going to be? He's not going to be 6 foot tall. Because we may adopt him, and officially he's going to become a library, but he will not have library genes. If Owen makes it to 5'6", I will be so happy. Because his dad was not tall. His mom was not tall. I was hoping Bree was supposed to be 6 foot tall. Is she? Phased out. Allie, right there at it. All of y'all. Maggie, there's still some hope. You're only 12. But there's a pretty good chance. You've got a cousin right now who's basically Allie's age that's as tall as I am. You know what would happen if she met a guy that was 6'7" and they had children? They're going to have some tall children. That's how you get, that's how you get them, by breeding certain people. That's how you get giants, because there were giants. And I'm not saying there's not, but there's a lot of people in our day and time that are teaching that these giants, all these giants, came about by man breeding with angels. Last thing, why could that not be true to these people in our day and time? They're not male or female necessarily. It is this. Before the flood, what happens to their lines? They're all wiped out. So even if any of this was true, as I read, because there's one, I like James Knox, I like a lot. This is one I don't agree with him on. He thinks this. I don't understand how he does. But even he acknowledges, number one, that it makes no matter to the day we live in. Though I think it makes it matter because if those people, they could have been damned to hell from the start because Christ died for man, for those that were born after the similitude of Adam, not for those born after the similitude of angels. But even he acknowledges at the end of it, when I was reading the section, it all doesn't matter because it was all wiped out in the flood. But like I said, I believe it matters because of the fact that you are teaching a contradiction there. Because I'm going to show you next week, I'm going to show you the verse next week that tells us that God has not called anybody other than Adam, those born after the similitude of Adam, sons of God. That's a direct contradiction. In order to believe this verse is talking about angels, you'd have to believe a contradiction in the Bible that tells us that God has not called anybody, any angels, the sons of God. The other place that they get this, and again, we're going to deal with this next week, the other place that they get this to back up this verse, they use one other place. One other place that they use to back this up. It's in the Old Testament. And again, if what the New Testament says is true, then that means what the other place can be. Therefore, this cannot be. Where?
Job.
It's in the book of Job. That's what they use to back this up. But when I read next week and show you what it says, I believe you're going to see it's talking about the same thing we're us. It's talking about saved people. He goes on here. Let me finish up here. The same became renowned, mighty men of old, men of renown. Again, that word mighty means a warrior, a tyrant, a champion. That word giant meant, when I looked that up in a Strong's, it means a feller. I was like, wow, I don't know where we get that from. That's what it said. A feller that is a bully or a tyrant. How many people do you know? This is why I'm glad that most of y'all seem to have a good, humble spirit. But how many people have you met that are raised in godly homes that have an arrogant spirit of being better than other people? I'm not asking for names, and I don't know what you said. Please don't say. There are people in other religions and other denominations right now that act just like that. That they think they're better because they're this religion. We're not better than anybody. I'm not better than anybody else. I'm better off because I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm no better than the drunk on the street. I've just been redeemed. I'm not going to use my religion or my salvation to try to stick my nose in the air at people. I am not better. But that's exactly what these people, that's exactly what this verse is saying. They were giants in the earth in those days. They were fellows that were tyrants and bullies. And I have met some in my 25 years, even in the independent Baptist, but not just independent Baptist, in other in Protestant religions and in Catholic religions that think, well, because I'm better than you. That's exactly what this verse right here, verse 4 is teaching. They were giants. They were fellows that were tyrants or they were bullies because I'm this and you're not, therefore I'm better than you. Don't ever be so self-righteous that you neglect those people that are on the road to hell. Don't ever get so involved. That's what the book of James deals with. Those people. This was happening in the church. In the book of James, it talks about, it's kind of funny how things are reversed, but in the book of James, it talks about the gay fellow, which means a happy somebody that comes in gay clothing, which is the way the word gay, and it used to mean happy and nice and that. It says that man that comes in a good dress, you say, come here, you sit right here, you take the good robe, you get this good robe. By the way, the book of James, and during our time, up front was the good seats. And then it would say, then that other man, I don't remember now how it describes, the other man that comes in that's kind of, you know, not that poor and everything, and he says, you stand over here. So even in the early church, they were having people, problems with people treating. By the way, I've been told that of other religions and denominations. I don't ever want to be, I don't care if we had every rich person in this town, I don't ever want to get to the place where somebody that's down and out or whatever term you want to use would feel welcome in this church. I've had people tell me in this town that go to other churches in this town, boy, I'm sure glad that person comes to your church, they'd never be welcome over at the church I go to. Had somebody tell me that. And I thought, how sad that you would go to a church where somebody wouldn't be welcomed. We welcome the ones that come in here that have been here for almost 6 years, been coming, that stink, that we've worked with and prayed for and labored over, and we still welcome them in these doors even after 6 years. We've had people that have come into this church and I've smelled alcohol on them, and I still ain't going to feel welcome. Because I don't care what people's background, Jesus died. Whether they come from a drunkard's home or a deacon's home. Whether they come from a Baptist church or Methodist church. Whether they're white, brown, black, or anything in between. I don't want anybody to ever feel like they're not welcome in this church. but for the grace of God, we'd be them. But for the fact that God redeemed us and saved us, we'd be them. We'd be the ones strung out on drugs, the ones drunk, waste their life on alcohol, but for the grace of God. These people had got to the point where they were thinking they were better than somebody else. And we've got a lot of people in our country that think that. Well, I'm from this part of the country. They refer to this part of the country, this where we're at right now, as flyover country. They have no respect for the people of the Midwest. Yet, a big chunk of the food for our country comes from this part of the country. And they call it the flyover country. Very disrespectful. I don't care. Listen, I work around people from Boston. I work around people from all over the country, California. Don't ever get to where you think you're too good to talk to somebody from wherever they may be from. Father, we thank you for the day that you've made. Lord, I pray, God, that you would use these children to reach their friends, their families. God, I pray, Lord, that you would use all of us in a mighty way to reach Rush County for Christ. And I pray that you'd be with Ox in that situation. And Lord, I pray that you'd use it as you see fit to reach that family. Help us now. In Jesus' name I pray. The altar's open. You need to come tonight. Come on.